This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
When you're on holiday, you can't find the words to say.
Well, the train never stops. It just keeps rolling on. It's another edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. You can find it everywhere. You can subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher Podcast, all these different kinds of things. But the home is always at Place to Be Nation and the website, placetobenation.com. We thank you for joining us here this week. Another big edition. Our guest will be the one and only Ring of Honor World Champion himself, Jay Briscoe. We will talk to Jay about a full range of subjects, not just limited to wrestling, because Jay and I know him quite well, so I know where his passions and interests lie outside the ring, but we will hit on all the points about pro wrestling, and we'll see what's going on with the champ when we check in with him. JR, Justin Rosero is my producer. Hello, JR. How are you?
I thought you were going to say our special guest is Wiz Khalifa, like he's on Raw tonight. I thought maybe he was calling in from the road right after the performance.
That would be great.
Big fan of the show.
Big fan of Wiz. Mm. It's an interesting time right now. It's kind of like the silly season in golf, like after the last major. You know, there's not a lot going on between now and WrestleMania, it seems like, but there's a lot of interest. So
Randy Orton's super delayed heel turn isn't doing it for you?
It's a slow motion. it's that slowly revolving elevator that, you know, the door that you know, turns very slowly as you go into a big building. What do they call that?
Yeah, a little
revolving door, I guess.
Yeah,
it would
I think
be
revolving door. And that's what a lot of these guys are on. They're all on revolving doors. And it amazes me. We talked about this on Twitter earlier tonight. I mean, just it's impressive how they've killed, like, Ambrose and Daniel Bryan from a year ago, how hot they were, and at a time where they're so bereft of stars, where they could desperately need guys for the fans to connect to, that they had guys organically and just have killed them off. And now they're both in this ladder match of Mania, which should be a good match, I'm sure. But I don't know. It's like a year ago, Daniel Bryan would, you know, took over Pittsburgh at the Royal Rumble, and now he's here just doing nothing. You know, meaningless matches a year later. It's just kind of depressing.
Hey, when did we pick our rosters? I just found the note. I wrote, remember when we did that? Like, we divided up. Like, I picked first, then you, or you picked.
Maybe Dan McGinn can look it up for us. But I think, I was pretty sure it was like October-ish, maybe. It was towards the end of the year.
Towards the end of 2014?
I thought so. I don't think it was recently.
No? All right.
What I thought it was. Is there a date on the note?
No, there's no date on the note. But here was the teams, in case you were interested. With the first pick, I picked John Cena, and then you picked Daniel Bryan and Cesaro. I picked Adam Cole and Mike Bennett.
Adam,
you
picked
Adam
I thought you
Cole.
Were saying what the fuck's his name? I got. You have to excuse me. I've been a lot of sleep the last week.
Yes, because there's big news there.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But who? Adam Rose, I was thinking.
Adam Rose. No, Adam Cole and Mike Bennett.
Yes,
you picked
picks.
Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. You actually got both of the WrestleMania main eventers.
There you go.
You got Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I've got Cena, Triple H, Seth Rollins.
Good pick there.
So those are some pretty powerful picks. Then I picked some Ring of Honor stars. Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Cedric Alexander, Adam Page. I picked Carl Anderson from New Japan. I still stick with that pick. I might have even picked him sooner if we'd be doing this now. He's the man. You picked Sami Zayn, so that's a good long-term pick. But you also picked Randy Orton, Sheamus, Magnus, and Goldust.
Magnus, huh?
Yeah. I don't know what you were smoking that day.
All right, but. Well, so this was mid-May, Dan tells us. So I think Magnus was pretty big last year in May.
Okay.
Goldust, too. Goldust was hot.
We were booking for the future. So
I wanted the veteran in Goldust, you know.
Yeah, he's great. Don't get me wrong. But,
he's an agent
for me now. You got the WrestleMania main eventers. So that's it. So that's good. So I would say in that it's got to be weighted somehow. But I think you, while mine is more spread out, I think yours more top heavy, and you win for this year because of Reigns and Brock Lesnar. How do you, you've got to get points for big matches in big spots, and Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns being the main event of WrestleMania. There you go. So
it's,
you win.
It's funny too, because when we picked those teams, I probably envisioned something similar to that, but I didn't envision it being this dead heading into it. I think we should revisit this in May, though, because I'm curious how some of these guys pan out post-Mania. Like, will Cesaro get anything? I mean, they're using it better now than they did for most of last year, honestly, with the Tyson Kidd being tag champions and having some focus on them. So I'm curious how, like, Ambrose and those guys, if they bounce back at all, or things going to look even way worse for me.
I do like these types of things. They're fun little games that we can do. And then you look back at them and you go, wow, what was I thinking? Oh, my gosh. I must have been dropped on my head.
Kind of like, or starting this podcast. That's kind of what
maybe my wife calls me in the middle of a podcast a week ago to give me a little bit of news.
Yeah, that's right.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
And for those of you that don't know, for the second time in his illustrious career, Justin is a daddy. So good for you. Congratulations. And everybody's happy, healthy, good.
Yeah, everyone's doing well. It was I was recording with Scott Griscolo, Place to Be Podcast, Backlash 2004. We're about a half hour in. I got the phone call from my wife that her water broke, so I had to abruptly bail on my PIC, sprinted up the stairs, and a couple hours later, we were at the hospital, and then early Tuesday morning, he arrived. So,
dang. And now, is this it for you guys?
Yeah, we're tapping out.
Okay. Now, are you going to get snipped?
I don't know. I mean, I guess eventually, but I kind of want to wait. You know, as I joke with her, I said, what if my next wife wants kids? You know, I don't want to pull that trigger just yet. No, I'm guessing I'll have to eventually, but for now, I'm gonna hold off on that.
Yeah. It's of course, the best time to do that is right coming up here in a few weeks, March Madness, Thursday, Friday. You can take off of work, frozen bag of peas right there on the boys after you get it done in the morning. And, you know, well, I have to sit on the couch. I can't get up and do anything. Well, it's hard to do with a new baby. So
true. So maybe next year. Well, it worked out for me anyway. My paternity leave carries me right through the first weekend of March Madness. So
your what?
My paternity leave.
You and Karina with the paternity leave.
That's what happens. You work for big time companies, Kev.
How, you know why? He
Place to Be Nation. Brad Woodling, very generous with his paternity leave.
He said, oh, Carino's like, oh, it's because Veda Scott negotiated it for me. He gets first class plane tickets, and he got, as he said it, paternal leave.
There you go. Paternal leave, yeah.
But it was a year. Paternal leave. It was a year removed.
Oh, that's a little bit much.
Yeah. What a scam. What an absolute scam. I never got paternity leave. I never got nothing.
Well, that's because you don't stand up for yourself. We heard that with you and Vince McMahon on the Place to Be podcast.
Get up and stand up for yourself. Come on.
Yeah.
How about our boy Dennis Stamp now making the rounds? What up with that?
Yeah, man. We started it all. You see Cole Cabana out there, you know, pimping it around, but screw that. It was one of our loyal followers mentioned.
Well, wait a minute now. I know, but Colt didn't say, I'm the first.
No, but he's really
Stamp.
Making a big deal. Like, the way he said it was kind of like, hang on. Our buddy Bill Ritchie called him out. I booked Dennis Stamp. Like come on. And he's been booked already. The joke's old, Colt. Come up with something new. We already ran it into the ground.
It's a, yeah, oh, we drove that thing dead in the ground. Let
me
tell you
something. The poetry we got, I'll tell you that much.
He probably will. And then some.
Whatever.
I have gotten tons and tons of feedback, positive feedback from having JR on.
Oh, and, yeah, he was awesome.
Like, just, and the reciprocation of me going on his podcast and everybody hearing about Place to Be Nation from there, it's like huge. Mm-hmm. It's been really good. So thank you to Jim Ross. Thank you for coming on these airwaves and allowing me to come onto your podcast as well. It's been a cool thing. So yeah, we're very happy for that. So as a new dad now, I mean, you're probably like happy go lucky, very patient, like nothing really bothers you, right?
Oh, yeah, that's me right up and down. I let everything go.
So I get this note and it's like, Remind me to tell you about my customer service horror stories. And I was like, what have you run into now? So tell me the story.
All right. Well, it's been an angsty day, you know, because we have another topic angsty we'll cover day. Off cover off in a minute. So the main one I want to cover off has to do with Lowe's, but we'll get to that in a second. Cox Cable, many of our listeners know, I have serious issues with. And my wife's grandmother is literally moving down the hall in her apartment building. She's 89, and she's moving to like a bigger handicap room. And all we need is Cox to come and switch the service to the other apartment. And they've just been like a disaster. They've no show twice. So today I had to just rain the fire down on the phone, and I just let it rip. All my issues with Cox came out and everything else. So that was what really had me finally pushed over the edge.
Have you always had a lot of issues with Cox, or have you dealt with Cox better in the past?
I used to enjoy dealing with Cox, and then I at some point turned on Cox, and Cox turned on me, and it hurt. It hurt when that happened. So I don't care for Cox anymore. Verizon's where it's at.
There's a drop coming for you, folks.
So the that was good. That was like my old improv days of college. I liked that. Thank you.
Very good.
So
did you feel better after you yelled at them?
Yeah, I did. I had a big scoop of ice cream out of the carton like a man would, and that's it. I felt good. So my other issue though has to do with Lowe's. So I usually we go there for like everything, for all our home needs. And about a month ago, we got a new cooktop because our one, it was all chipped. It was glass when we moved in. So I went and got a nice stainless steel one I could put in. And since then, this lady who kind of handled like the setup of the delivery and everything and the installation kept calling me and like referencing like additional parts or this other stuff. And I never really understood or followed. So she calls me the other day, and I'm at the PC game on Saturday. And she's like, because you know, they use like a third party contractor to come install it or whatever. And she's like, so and so, when they installed it, had to use, you know, $36 worth of parts extra, and we're hoping that you're going to reimburse them for that. And I'm at the game. I didn't really feel like getting into it. We're at the hospital all morning for tests and stuff. So I was just like, oh, call me back. So she hasn't called me back yet. But the more I think about it, the more it's kind of marinated with me, and the angrier I've gotten, because I paid them like $150 installation fee to Lowe's. So it's not my fault they choose some third-party vendor who needed additional parts, right? Am I wrong on this? I mean, they're like a multi-million-dollar company, and I paid them for installation, and now they're trying to squeeze another $36 out of me. Do you find that wrong? I'm not even done with the story yet. This is just I'm laying the groundwork for the story.
Believe me, I am right there with you. Okay. I would have laughed at her.
Well, I'm hoping. She was supposed to call me back today, and I can't wait for her to call.
Please do.
So then,
put her on the show. Let's have her call now.
So on top of it, I go and buy a new refrigerator, because of course every week that you have a million things going on, something else has to happen. So we get, my mother-in-law calls because she was watching my daughter while we were at the hospital, and she's like, you know, the refrigerator doesn't seem to be getting cold. And my dad and I had fixed a motherboard last year, and this thing's probably like 8 or 9 years old now, so it was time. So I go Friday, I make a purchase, and we're all set. Delivery for Saturday. Refrigerator comes, I'm at the game. And they can't bring it up the stairs because they felt the stairs are too icy. So they're going to come back the next day. All right, I get it. So I go out, I salt all the stairs down, chip all the ice up Saturday night. They come Sunday, and they're taking it off the truck. And the guy comes up to me, and he's like, did you order a floor model or something? And I'm like, no.
Uh-oh.
He's like, well, there's no plastic on it, and we're missing the screws for the handles. So I'm like, I need a refrigerator because I got everything in here. I'm running up and down from my garage, trying to jam everything into my little mini freezer. So he brings it in, hooks it up, and this thing is like beat to shit. Like it's got marks all over it. It's got no handles on the door.
You should have paid the lady the $36.
Well, no, this is before I denied her that. So now, first of all, he's like, okay, I'll call, mark it down. So he calls. So then I'm like, I'm going to call as well because I don't trust anyone customer service related. So I call and I talk to this guy, and he's like, yeah, he's like, we got to get one in from, we don't know what happened. We got to get one in from Frigidaire. They got to send it. We don't have any more in the warehouse. So it'll just be a few days. He's like, well, you should call. He's like, I'm going to have the guy who sold it to you call me back. Call you back later when he gets in. So that was supposed to be 3:00. No call, of course. So I call back at like 6:30. I get the guy that sold it to me, and he is just like, it has nothing. He has no excuse. Like, he can't come up with any reason why this happened. And he tells me it's going to be 4 to 5 weeks to get my new one. So now I got this slumdog refrigerator with all these markings on it. It's just I'm like, unbelievable. And now
it's
they
like
want
being
to bust
in the ghetto.
Yeah, well, maybe not that bad, but
like they, living like animals,
living like McGinn. You know, they want to now have you know, they want me to pay $36 to send me beat up refrigerators, and it's expensive. And the guy's like, well, he's like, you know, they don't really use the floor models that much. I'm like, look at this fucking thing. There's marks all over it. The plastic drawer I had to like snap back together. There's no handles on it. I'm like, I paid a decent amount of money for this refrigerator. Fucking Lowe's, man.
McGinn says at least his fridge works.
Yeah, that's true. He stores his
and
breast milk in it.
And he pointed out that you love cocks.
Yes.
That's awesome, though. Anyway. But at least you got a new baby.
Yeah, that worked out well. He's
See? Isn't it funny how man-made things can screw up all the time? Tell you what. God gets involved, nothing could go wrong. It's awesome. 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 Hey, did you set your DVR tonight? Because we're recording during Raw.
I have it on right now.
Okay, so the Connor deal, did you see it?
I did. It was actually before we started. That was really well done. And they are giving him the Warrior Award and inducting him to the Hall of Fame. So do you remember the Warrior stuff from last year?
I sure do.
When he said they want to honor, you know, behind the scenes or fans, you know, something like that. So they're giving it to Connor, of course, was the young fan who had the fatal disease, and he became close friends with Daniel Bryan and Triple H and everything else, and they honored him at WrestleMania. And what bothered me there, what really got me after Lowe's, after Cox, after all the anger and hate coursing through my body, I go on like Twitter and Facebook, and I see people, you know, first starting to say they're only doing this because basically they want good publicity. And then people like complaining that he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, and, really?
And one guy on Twitter said, oh, good, that'll be my time for a piss break. Like what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, first of all, let's say that. And second of all, do you, Kevin, believe, as someone who worked closely with a lot of the employees in WWE, who was there for many years, is this something they're doing just for PR purposes this time around?
No, it has nothing to do with PR at all. Now, it's a very good question. Where does PR end and goodwill begin? But I believe that deep down in their soul, that Hunter and Stephanie and Vince have a heart and care about people. And it may not be the same way you do it or I do it or our guest Jay Briscoe does it or anybody else does it, but it's the way that they do it. I think they really seriously, genuinely cared about this kid.
I think they get
moved by things like this. And if you've ever seen them do any work around any of the stories of the kids that come for the what do they call it? Make-A-Wish.
Yep.
Dude, there's not a dry eye in the house.
And now, listen, I want to qualify this thing. You're cynical and a guy that that's out there. You're very cynical. You're very not only cynical, but you're very into the conspiracy kind of stuff, right?
So I believe I see.
No, you still think Montreal's a work. So, I mean, you're as cynical as
No. I never said that.
Yeah, okay.
I never said that
you
at all.
You and that blue and gold polo are all over that DVD.
I was there to just state the facts as I knew them. I was the voice of reason in the center of the conspiratorial world.
You are a conspiracy theorist. You are a cynic. And even you're sitting here saying, and you don't like Triple H. You don't like these guys. And you're even sitting here saying that this was out of their heart and not
right.
PR.
I've told the story before. I mean, when Perfect came, we were in Knoxville, and he told Vince that he went and saw Fuji that day, and Fuji was down on his luck. He didn't tell him so that Vince would then summon Dave Hebner and get $10,000 out of his briefcase in cash and send it over to Fuji. Perfect didn't tell him that because he had hoped that Vince would give him money. He told him that because he knew he would care.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that Vince, without even blinking an eye, summoned Hebner, got 10 grand out of Hebner's briefcase, and had it sent over to Fuji. That's the type of guy that Vince is. And Stephanie has a huge heart. I mean, she's a mom.
And Triple H's heart is very enlarged.
Just not right. But fair.
Even beyond all that, even beyond their past deeds and the Make-A-Wish and all this stuff, you can't tell me you're watching those videos and cannot see And I'm not just saying the way the video is put together. I'm saying all the stuff they did for this kid.
Yeah.
And you watch the, you know, the touching moment with him and Daniel Bryan and him and AJ Lee and him and Triple H where he's, you know, he let him pin him in the ring. It's like, how can you watch that and really think they're doing this for PR? I don't get it this time around.
My buddy Ben Gordon on Twitter did say that the kid deserves to go into the Hall of Fame because he did beat Triple H. So
true, that's right.
Because it happens so infrequently. But I agree with you. I think that it's a really nice thing. Now, of course, the cynics would say that the reason why they did this for PR purposes is in the wake of a lot of negative publicity mm-hmm. that they've gotten over the past week. Within the wrestling industry, it hasn't really crossed over to mainstream, but it certainly has been widely written and talked about within the wrestling industry, is the resignation of Bill DeMott related to some accusations of mistreatment of some of the trainees at NXT. I have no opinion on this at all. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, so I can't comment on it. And I'm not going to comment on it. But again, whether or not they did this for public relations purposes today or whenever, there's always people that are going to take shots. See, you know, anytime anybody does anything good anymore, though, JR, there's somebody to go, well, they could have done it better, or
I'm gonna go piss.
They're only doing this because, or whatever, or they're going to go take a piss break, like you said. I mean, give me a break.
And the thing, too, is, I know the timing seemed fishy. I think they had this plan for a while. And the reason they did it tonight is they're in Pittsburgh, and that's where the kid lived. So his family was in the crowd. I mean, it was, you know, the timing is there, not because of the DeMott stuff. And the DeMott stuff's been out there for, you know, more than just this week. I know he just resigned. But as far as that goes, I know you're going to kind of refrain from talking about it. I will say, I think where there's enough smoke, there's fire. And I think where you have people coming out and talking as much as they have so quickly, to me, doesn't reek too much of... I mean, you could maybe say people are just bitter for whatever, they didn't make it, but... I don't know. To me, there was too much eagerness to come out and talk when it happened. It almost was like, you know, on a much lower level, like the Cosby stuff or Tiger Woods, where like all of a sudden everyone starts coming out of the woodwork and seems to have pretty similar stories already in place. So I don't know. To me, there was enough smoke for me to buy what happened. The fact that he stepped down, the fact that no one really defended him, except for Chris Jericho, who's a pretty big company guy. And was brought up in a more old school mentality. It's just, I mean, in DeMott's mind, you know, maybe what he was doing was the right way to do things. That's how he was brought up. But it's a different world now. And that's just not the way to go about it, especially in a publicly traded company.
I think we've seen a lot of stories recently, especially in college athletics, where coaches who might have done things that way back in the day, now in... you know, have lost their jobs over some of their teaching and coaching methods. And I'm doing the air quotes as I'm doing them. I'm not really sure how you teach people that way. I'm not quite sure what I would learn in that setting, but it's a new world, and it's a different breed of people that we deal with today. And, just because my dad was a total hard ass, complete hard ass. And I'm a much different dad than he was. And I just think, well, it's just generational. We used to get paddled. Put it this way. Here's how old I am. I used to get paddled in school. Now, could you imagine a school? You do something wrong, you get sent to the principal. When I was in middle school and high school, I would get paddled. I only got paddled like 3 times. But there were kids who were getting paddled every day, every week. Could you imagine a school doing that today in 2015? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
And they shouldn't be. And they shouldn't
be. But does that mean they shouldn't have been back then?
No. They didn't know better. It's like anything.
Exactly.
We develop, we change, we evolve.
Changes. Right. It's not that this was wrong and this is right, or today is wrong and we were right. It's that's the way we did it back then. This is the way we do it now. And that's it. You can't. I think it's very hard to kind of stick out like a sore thumb and be sort of that old school guy too, because man, oh man, it's just like you. First of all, you're never going to win, and you're not going to change public opinion. It's absolutely not going to happen. So you have to evolve with the times, and you have to look at the athletes that you're working with today. College coaches have to adjust what they do. Even programs like Duke, who never really you hear about problems like that. They had to kick a player off the team. You know, look at what Louisville is going through. My gosh, can you imagine what those players and coaches and the administration is going through right now in the wake of everything that they've had to deal with just that one player on the team? And look at the coach. I can't remember what school it was where he was throwing the ball in the players' faces. That was a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that guy's ever going to work again or if he's working now. I'd be shocked, but that type of thing may have been done. Not everybody was John Wooden back in the day. But regardless, that's you know, everybody's got to just change with the times, and that's the way it goes. All right, so we got a couple minutes left before we get Jay Briscoe on the line. We've got to do a few minutes on football because I'm going to ask Jay about football as well. You danced a jig in the streets of Providence, I heard. You were thrilled when you heard that the Jets traded for Brandon Marshall. Correct or incorrect?
Oh, yeah. Very excited. I thought it was a great trade. I mean, they needed a star receiver, a number one receiver. I know he's a little bit old, but whatever. They have the money to spend, and they only give up a fifth-round pick. So to get, you know, if you drafted Brandon Marshall in the fifth round of the draft, you'd be fucking ecstatic. So to me, I think it was well worth the risk. He's cheaper than Percy Harvin, who they're probably going to cut tomorrow. Less of a head case than Percy Harvin, less of a problem. And you've heard he can have issues in the locker room, but to me that really leaked out this year when his relationship with Cutler soured. And I don't blame anyone who's had to spend as much time with Jay Cutler as he has, so forget getting a little pissy. He's also excelled with subpar quarterbacks. I keep seeing everyone saying who's going to throw him the ball. He had a great season with Josh McCown. He put up big numbers with Matt Moore in Miami. So, I mean, I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be pretty good, and he's just what they needed. Now you put him with Decker. That's a hell of a 1-2.
I'm sure that you're going to regret the it doesn't matter who the quarterback is comment when they have to play the Dolphins twice with Ndamukong Suh on the defensive line.
Well, that's more to do with the offensive line, but I don't know where I stand on Marcus Mariota still. I keep going back and forth. Like, I feel like if he's there, I don't see how they could possibly pass on him. If you told them 2 months ago or 3 months ago when they won that last game, I think we probably talked about it on here how it kind of knocked them down to the sixth spot and then now they had no chance at a quarterback. And now you're telling them they don't even have to trade up and they could probably get Mariota and they may not do it. It's like mind-blowing to me. When you're so hungry for a quarterback, I think you have to take a chance on a guy who could be a potential star.
If you're going to do it, if you are going to be in that sixth spot and he does fall in your lap, either you trade out of the pick or you take him, right?
Do you want to be the guys that trade him, though, and then he blows up? And I'm sure whoever you take will still be very good, but I don't know. It's like, do you want to be that guy?
Are you scared off by the prospect of him being RG3 part two?
No.
Okay.
No. And because you got to take the risk. I mean, if he busts, he busts. But if he hits, he hits. You know, and that's what you need: a young, cost-controlled star quarterback. And this is a guy that everyone had going consensus number one before they kind of came around on Winston when everyone was kind of blinded by the off-field stuff of Winston. But Chip Kelly, if he's willing to trade his draft for this guy, and he's an offensive guru and a smart football guy, doesn't that make you think, well, maybe I should keep this kid? If Chip Kelly's so willing to get rid of Nick Foles, do you really want to take a package headlined by Foles and picks that are going to be in the mid to late 20s? If Mariota's good with the Eagles, they're going to pick low, low first round? I don't know.
In the course of this opening segment, you've talked about Cox and package. So, very good. As a Giants fan, I do not ever get excited about free agency. They never get anybody good. They never fill any needs. They just middle around, and I just see more middling. Will there be? Okay, Frank Gore. He apparently, it looked like he was going to Philly.
Hang on. I'll set it up for you. He pulled out.
Who? What?
Pulled out hard.
Who did?
Fred Gore.
What did he do?
He gored Philly and then he pulled out.
Damn.
Left them all very, pent up. Didn't finish. Didn't finish the deal.
They couldn't finish the deal?
Yeah.
And he pulled out. So Gore, I guess, not going to Philly. He's going to go to Indianapolis.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a good pick.
That's yeah, a good probably pick better up. Fit for him, honestly. I don't know if he really fit in the chip offense. But now I wonder if we're back to Spiller going to Philly. That was the other the big rumor. So Darrell Revis, Kev, where's he going? I've been refreshing Twitter all day like a sick son of a bitch. I don't know how I'm even going to sleep tonight. And I don't even know what I want to happen. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I want him. I don't know if I don't. But it's making me nauseous even just thinking about when I see that tweet finally come through about what he's going to do.
Oh, boy. I the more I think about it, the more I see him going to the Jets.
Well, they're going to pay him, right? So, to me, if he makes it out of New England by tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the Jets are going to give him the money he wants. So to me, it just matters if he's going to do it or if he signs before he leaves. If he leaves, I think he's gone. I don't see him going back to New England after he leaves.
Where am I looking? I thought I saw the headline. Yeah, Patriots decline Revis' option.
Well, they decline his option, but they still have till 4 o'clock tomorrow when free agency starts to sign him exclusively.
Whoa. Do you hear that? That was the when I clicked on the Darrell Revis article, the video commercial started playing in my headset. And I was like, whoa.
No, I didn't hear that. It's in your
headset. Okay. So they could still sign him
to an extension.
They have a window. Oh, okay. All
so right. The 1 year option's done. That was like a $20 million option that would add a $25 million cap hit. So there was no way they were going to do that. So they can still come to a long term agreement. The difference now is he falls into that kind of open tampering period that's been going on the last 3 days where he didn't before. Once the option is gone, he now can actually talk to other teams legally per this thing. So he could reach out to the Jets or the Jets can reach out to him and be like, don't sign. We're going to offer you XXX. I mean, I don't know. Like the word is that he'll want 40 of the 48. He'll want 48 million, 40 million guaranteed. And I keep going back and forth. The Jets, are they ready to win? Do you sign a guy who's 30 years old, with a torn ACL once? But then again, he's the best guy at his position, and they desperately need a cornerback. If you let him go, who else are you going to get? I mean, I think I'd do it because of a few reasons. One, Todd Bowles' defense desperately needs good cornerbacks. Two, they have a shitload of money. Three, they botched this last year when they should have done it then. And four, they're in a position where they really need good PR and get the fans fired up. I don't think you should ever always make your decisions based on that. To me, that's like the last reason. But to me, it does matter sometimes, and this is one of the times.
I think Woody wants to make it up to the fan base.
Yeah, because he fucked it up last year. Revis wanted to come back, and he said no.
Well, that was because he was listening to your boy Idzik.
Nah, I still think Woody was, as Maria once said, butthurt. I think he was still mad about how everything went down, and I think it got in his head. And
did you see that Julius Thomas is leaving Denver and is going to sign with the Jaguars?
Yeah, have fun. Have fun there.
I mean, if that isn't going for the money, I don't know what is.
Well, he should go for the money because I honestly don't know how good he is. Like, I don't know if he was just a real benefit of Peyton Manning and being like having great receivers around him too. I think he's good. If I'm him, I'm cashing out though.
He's making his money.
Take it. And I mean, I think Jacksonville's actually heading in the right direction. And there's rumors they would go after DeMarco Murray too. So,
oh, well, okay. Now then, you'd have Brent Bortles, you'd have your Blake Bortles, Julius Thomas, and DeMarco Murray.
And they have decent young receivers too. I know Blackman's.
Oh, he's shitless. Done.
But who's the other guy that broke out last year? Drawing a blank on his name.
He's got.
I can think of all their middling ones, like Cecil Shorts and Ace.
Cecil
Sanders.
Shorts. There was the kid that was the third.
Cecil Shorts the third, and then there's Ace Sanders. But who the hell is he?
They had job guys as receivers.
No, but they had one guy who was really good last year. But they also have Denard Robinson. Remember he broke out late in the year.
He did great as a running back. Yes, yeah. That was good. Okay, if you had to pick, let's see, 50. It's 50-50, right? What do you think? Yes or no? Is Colin Kaepernick still the quarterback of the 49ers?
By the way, Alan Hearns was the guy that broke out and had a
yes. Alan Hearns, he had a great year. You're right.
Is Cap? Man, what about Titanic? Right, just completely fell apart. you know, Justin Smith retiring, it sounds like, Patrick Willis retiring, Harbaugh gone, Gore gone. They got that clown Tom Sula as their coach. I'm going to say it's going to happen after the draft. If the Eagles do not get Mariota, it would not shock me if they try to pull a trade for Kaepernick.
That'd be interesting.
Because he's Harbaugh's guy, right? I mean, he's their guy. So I could see the Niners saying, fuck it, we're starting from scratch. There are rumors, though, they're going to sign Torrey Smith, it sounds like. So, I mean, are you really going to roll with, what's his name? Who's their backup? The guy that was in Jacksonville.
The guy Blake Shelton.
No, the guy that bombed in Jacksonville.
Yeah, the kid from Missouri.
Yeah, what the hell's his name? We are struggling with Jacksonville players tonight.
Dan McGinn.
Dan's got us here. Who's he saying? No, he's just giving us a time update. Hang on. He pulled me away from my update.
Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert. Thank you.
Thank you, McGinn.
I think he's their backup. So.
Or as McGinn says, Blaine Gabba.
Gabba. Gabba Gabba do. But I don't know if, I mean, do you.
I'm from New England. It's Gabba.
Are they going to roll with him as a, are they going to roll with him as their quarterback? I don't know. That's risky.
He's the ultimate job guy.
It depends how desperate Kelly gets. I mean, right now his starter is either Foles or Sanchez again. So I think it depends if they can trade up for Mariota or not. But I really think it comes down to the Jets. Because if you look at the teams ahead, you have obviously Tampa's going to take Winston. Tennessee seems set on taking an O-line. And then you have Oakland. They don't need a quarterback. We'll talk to Jay about that probably as being a Raiders fan. But Derek Carr looks pretty good. I don't think they're going to mess with him. Jacksonville obviously just took Bortles. They're not going to take one. And Washington, I don't think they're going to take Mariota, and I don't think they would trade. Why are you going to hand Philly their quarterback of the future, potentially within your division? So I think it does come down to the Jets.
I think maybe Washington trades with somebody else that wants Mariota to block the Eagles from getting him.
Which is possible, which could also
be the Jets. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because if you're Washington, you've already blown two drafts.
But the thing is, this draft is really, it's deep, but it's also very top heavy. Like, there's some great talent. So is it worth doing that when you can just take a stud? There's a lot of good pass rushers. There's a lot of good receivers. Like, they need talent. So is it worth trading back just to fuck with Philly when you can get an elite, top six guy? And that's why I'm not too worried about the Jets. That's why I don't want them to trade back. Like, if they don't like Mariota at this point, maybe you're just better off not drafting him then and just taking Amari Cooper or taking, one of the linemen. It's risky to do that, but at least you're still getting that elite talent that you may not get.
At least the draft is not at Radio City this year, so the Jet fans won't want to burn the place down. It's in Chicago, where everybody's like just nauseous, throwing up on themselves because
I'm
the football
nauseous.
Team is going to be so bad.
I'm already nauseous, and I loved Maccagnan, I loved Todd Bowles, and I loved the Marshall trade, and I feel like so much right now hinges on if they get Revis and then Mariota or not. Like, there's so much just hanging in the balance. Because if not, you're rolling with Geno Smith and Brian Hoyer at that point, or Fitzpatrick, whoever they get.
Oy vey. We're going to do a little bit of an abbreviated show here this week because JR with the new baby's got a lot of responsibilities and go relieve the wife for a few seconds. But we will take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk to the Ring of Honor World Champion himself, Jay Briscoe. He's our guest this week on the Kevin Kelly Show, so stick with us. The champ is next.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
I've got the magic stick. I know if I can hit once, I can hit twice. I'll hit the baddest chicks. Show they don't believe me, then call me tonight, and I'll show you magic.
Okay, we're back here on the Place to Be Nation, and as promised, he's the man. He's with us now. He is the Ring of Honor World Champion, and nobody's beaten this guy in over 2 years, and that's an amazing feat when you think about it. Jay Briscoe's our guest here on the Kevin Kelly Show. What's up, champ? How are you?
Oh, man, doing good, man. How about yourself?
I am lovely. Thank you very much, and thank you for taking time away from your family tonight to be a part of this nonsense that we do here.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, man.
You get it's different now, right? Being the world champion. I mean, second time being world champ, but it's different because a lot of people start to ask you for stuff, right? They want interviews, they want pictures, they want you got to do media. It's a different ball game, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it just comes into territory. I mean, it just, goes along with everything. I mean, I don't really mind doing too much, especially, with you guys. I mean, it's just part of, what I signed up for. So
yeah, it's home cooking here, so you ain't got to worry about that. But has anybody ever been like I know you do a lot of media, and I've seen some of your, some of your conversations with the different station folks there in the Sinclair Broadcast Group, and they all seem to play nice. Have you run across any jerks? Or has everybody been pretty cool? You don't have to name names, but you could say, man, there was this one time.
Well, I mean, everybody, there's some people that don't act like assholes everywhere, but I mean, for the most part, everybody's pretty cool.
So, okay. Now I met you when you were how old? Were you 17?
I think I was 16, because it was at the very beginning.
Okay, yeah, that was in the ECWA for Jim Kettner down in Delaware. There was a young team that Jim was very high on, and he said, take a look at these guys, because they're going to be something someday, and I'm going to put them against the Haas brothers, and it's going to be fun. And I was like, oh, good. Hey, guess what, Russ, Charlie, see those young boys over there? You're going to get to beat them up. Awesome. And that was pretty much the deal.
Yeah, that was the deal for a long time there. That's how we broke in after our very first match. We wrestled Mr. Ooh La La and Mozart Fontaine. And then right after the match, here you guys came. And, they were fresh out of Seton Hall and just monsters. And on the way to WWE, and we were probably 160 pounds soaking wet, between the both of us. And I remember they were just throwing us around, belly to belly suplex. And it wasn't just the stuff that we did, like on the shows. Like, I remember, because we trained up at WrestleTech, and that's where Charlie and Russ were, they were going there to get ready to move on to WWE. And so we would go up there and train with them. And I just remember one day just doing a dropkick drill with them and just over and over again, just getting drop kicked in the head, man, probably, 50 times. And it was definitely, something, a good way to break us in.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. I never laid a hand on you guys. I always went right for the referee. I want the record to show. Although I think I potatoed your brother once, and I apologize to him. I think so. I can't remember.
You and Dad had the arm wrestling contest one time at the high school.
That was a hell of a show. That was good booking. Yeah. That was great, because on the road to the Battle to Bob, we did a spot show at the Briscoes High School, and man, this place was jam packed. And it was me. I was the man. I must have fallen on my head. I was on the bad side of town. I was running with the wrong crowd. I was managing those evil Haas brothers. And there I am, arm wrestling your dad. Well, we bamboozled him and wound up duct taping his arm to the table, and I won. And he raised up with that table and started swinging it around, and I ran for my life.
Broke the whole table.
He did. And then of course we came back and sent the people home happy with a spectacular finish at the finish of the night. And that was, boy, it seems like yesterday, but Jay, it wasn't yesterday. It was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
It was a long time, almost 15 years now.
And
dude,
since
that's
then,
crazy to think about.
I know. And since then, you've grown up and you've matured and you've settled down and you're not wild and crazy anymore, right?
I'm getting there. Slowly but surely.
It's the balance with wrestling and married life, home responsibilities, and wrestling. Is it tough for you? Is it something that you find easy to manage? How do you make it balance?
Everything was, you know, it's not so much, you know, being married or whatever, but once the kids start coming into play, I mean, there's really no way to, I mean, you just got to do it. You know what I mean? You just have to, you know, people can tell you their experiences or whatever and offer advice. You know, that's all well and good. But I mean, until you actually, you know, have kids and actually do it, man. Like, I mean, it gets tough, man. Like leaving, you know, like when, you know, I got to leave, you know, for a few days or whatever. And then the kids know I'm going to be gone for a while. I mean, it gets tough sometimes, but I mean, it makes it all worth it, you know, coming back home and just seeing them smiling and being happy and everything. But, I mean, I guess there's really no way to get ready for it. You just got to kind of just go with the flow.
Right. And how many children do you have now?
I have three.
Three. And is that it for you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. I'm done. I ain't like Mark.
Mark is just...
He's still rolling over there.
Golly, I saw Brittany the other night. She's still got till June to go, and she's already way out there. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yep, there's a good chance that if this baby comes at the right time, he'll have a child that's three, a child that's two, a child that's one, and a child that's zero.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's that a wild man.
That brother of yours, he was a guest on our show, man. A few weeks ago. He talked about a lot of controversial things on here, I'll have you know. He talked about being put in a coma and getting a catheter and losing time. It was crazy. It was just crazy.
I heard penile detubing was talked about.
That was the word. I even had to hashtag it for Twitter because I had never heard anybody use that phraseology before. Definitely not in the airwaves. That's your brother, though.
That's smart for you. Oh, yeah.
He's your brother. He's your responsibility. He's your kin.
Unfortunately.
So, you're the world champ. You win the title. Toronto, it was the last thing I'm sure you ever expected to happen, but here you are. You're now two-time Ring of Honor world champion. You come back across the border, you go back home, and you go, I'm the world champion again. How long until it sort of sunk in? What was different about the second time? Talk to me about it.
It was, I kind of, like the first time, it never really did sink in, I don't think. Like it was just kind of, I mean, it was all kind of a blur. Like I beat Kevin for the belt, and then it was just like, oh man, I'm the world champ. I got to, you know, I really got to do my thing now. And it just happened so fast, it seemed like, I mean, it was a few months, but then, you know, I got the injury and had to get the title up. You know, the second time getting it, it was almost like, okay, I got it now. I know everybody is gunning for my ass, so I got to be ready. I just got to, you know, stay at the top of my game, you know, keep working hard and just be ready. Because, I mean, the first time I didn't realize how much everybody is coming at me, you know, and now I kind of got a feel that, you know, I mean, everybody, they just look at you, you know, they look at you a little different. I mean, you walk around with the belt, it's you know, everybody's gunning for you. So I know a little bit more what to expect, but it's you know, just gotta stay ready.
Only two guys have ever held the Ring of Honor world title on two occasions, you and Austin Aries. And there's something to be said because you look at all the great champions, the great wrestlers that have held the Ring of Honor world title. Okay. And Carino and I have talked about this on the air. He says there is something about losing the Ring of Honor world title that makes you go crazy. And that's why so few people have been able to regain it. And mm-hmm. I know, is it the sense of loss? Is it the way you lost the title? I know it just burned you up inside because you had to give it up. You weren't beaten in the ring. And I know that just had, I know it bothered you to your core.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, like that, you know, I couldn't let it in like that. You know what I mean? Like I had to get it back and I had to do it the right way. You know, I mean, I don't mind, you know, losing the title, but losing it like that, it's just, you know, I couldn't go down like that. I think like the people, since there are so few, you know, like everybody just, I mean, besides from me and Aries, it's just everybody, like, I mean, once you have the belt and once you lose it, it's almost kind of like, you know, I mean, somebody's taking your spot. You know, you're a stepping stone. Somebody is the next guy in line. And a lot of times, man, people aren't ready to get, you know, they still want to be the man. And it's hard to, you know, accept being a stepping stone when you want to be the man. And I think that's the thing, you know, losing the title, I mean, you know, as long as you keep it, you're the man. As long as you're doing your thing, defending it, doing your job, working hard, you're the man. But I mean, once somebody takes it from you, it's kind of back to square one. So.
Is it? Do you have fun when you get to tag with your brother now?
Oh yeah,
because it seems. I mean, I know it was a violent war in Atlanta and with the Kingdom. That was just an amazing match, man. That was incredible. Regardless of the outcome, that match was phenomenal. It was fantastic. It had everything. And I was proud to call it. And I, you know, the way that rivalry ended, but that withstanding, when you go out there with your brother now, to me, it seems like, wow, you almost seem a little different. Like there's not that level of pressure on you that I see when you are defending that world title. It's almost like you're two different people. Can you relate to that? Am I on the right track?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I still, you know, like not being pinned in so long is always kind of in the back of my mind. Like, you know, even though it's a tag match, I'm still, you know, Mark, you know, God bless him, but, you know, I'm still not going out there trying to get pinned. But when I'm out there with Mark, I mean, it's, you know, I got somebody I can tag in there, you know, and take some of the load off a little bit, man. Like when it's a singles match, especially when the title's on the line, man. I mean, it's as intense as it gets out there. A Ring of Honor World Championship match is the most pressure, you know. That's the ultimate right now. So anytime I get to tag with Mark, man, it's always a nice little relief. I mean, you know, just being able to go out there with him and do what we've been doing for so long. And it's nice to be, because, I mean, tag team, you know, that's what we started out doing, and that's what we'll always love to do, you know, the most is, I mean, we're the Briscoe brothers, you know, and, I mean, right now I'm doing my thing, but I mean, we're a tag team at heart, so it's always good to be able to do that.
It's good to throw brother a bone every once in a while, help the kid out, right? You know, I mean, come on, he's got a baby on the way, right? Give him the rub.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I got to look out for little brother.
So you had, so I know when I talked with Mark, I was talking about, I had to ask some questions about Big Man. And I saw your mom briefly on Saturday night and I waved hello to your father. But they're quite a couple. How long have they been married?
Let's see. I guess going on probably close to 35 years now.
Wow. Yeah. Man, that's rare when you think about it these days.
Oh yeah. Yep. It's crazy to think that, well, I don't know. I pew the men on the pew side. It seems like we always get a bad rap. Like the family always say, I can't believe that your mom has stayed with your dad for that long. But, now they're saying the same thing about me and my wife. We're coming up on 7 years. Like, how the hell can she put up with you for 7 years?
Well,
but I mean, it's
but yeah, even though you're the champ and you wear the belt, she wears the pants, right?
Well, damn. Oh man. Oh, Lord, I can't let her hear this.
You can't say it because you're afraid it'll kill your image, but you can't tell a lie either, can you?
Well, hey, behind every strong man is an even stronger woman.
That's right. You better say it, too, because she'll be right there slapping you. Trust me, I got one, too, man. I've been married 93, we got married, so it'll be 22 years coming up in April. So it's it's crazy when you think about it, because like we've had really good times and then we fought like cats and dogs for a while. And then it was like, I don't want to be with you anymore. Well, I don't want to be with you either anymore. Wait a minute. We don't want to be with anybody else. Why don't we just be with each other? And then we realized we were the best thing for each other and like best friends. So it all worked out.
Yes, sir. Yep.
So you're a huge Raiders fan. The Oakland Raiders are your team. Okay. Silver and black all the way. Your son, his name is Gannon. Mm-hmm. Now, was he named for the former quarterback?
Yes, sir. Yep, Rich Gannon is, and he went to the University of Delaware too. So he's, he's already got some ties. You know, I mean, me and my wife used to work at a bar down the road, and the owner of the bar, he was Rich Gannon's cousin, like first cousin. And Rich Gannon used to come to the bar, and like, so we met him, like, we know him and everything. And so we told him that we were going to name our son Gannon, you know, after him, you know, the greatest quarterback in, I mean, as long as I've been alive, the greatest quarterback I've ever seen on the Raiders. The closest we've ever been to winning the Super Bowl was with him. So, you know, he's, in my opinion, Rich Gannon is the man. So, yeah, so we named our first son after Rich Gannon, named him Gannon, and he signed the football and everything for him. And, that's Rich Gannon, man. He's the man.
And now your son Gannon is what, five?
He'll be six in June.
All right. So before he turned six in June, he's already been playing football. He's already been amateur wrestling. He's been doing a bunch of stuff. What are his prospects, do you think, for the is he in the NFL yet? Is he going to be a D1 scholarship athlete? What are you thinking?
I don't know. Like he does pretty good with T-ball. He played football this year, but they started this new thing down here called Tiny Mites, where like the 5-year-olds is 5, 6, and 7-year-olds, and like they actually wear the full equipment and everything. And I think, man, that at 5 years old, it was a little bit too much for him to have all that stuff on. But he kind of struggled a little bit through that. I think it was mainly just because the equipment was so damn heavy for him, and he was just trying to lug all that around. But football, he kind of struggled a little bit this year, but he played T-ball for the first time last year, and he did pretty good there. We got that getting ready to start up again next month, I guess. So he's looking forward to that. And he tried to do some amateur wrestling. He calls it circle wrestling because it got the big circle out in the middle of the mat. But
it's a perfect description for it. It's the perfect description.
Yep. Circle wrestling is what he calls that. But he got out there, man, and he's used to, you know, how we wrestle. So he was out there, you know, practicing with his buddies and everything, and I guess he was ready. I guess he thought he had enough heat already taken on him, and it was time for him to get his comeback, you know.
Yeah.
And the guy he was wrestling with, I guess he thought it was still time to take a little more heat, you know, and he didn't want to let my son get the comeback, you know. So he got kind of frustrated, and he couldn't understand why the guy he was wrestling against wasn't working with him. And he got a little frustrated. He couldn't ever get his comeback or get any shine in. He was just taking heat the whole time, so... I don't really think he likes circle wrestling too much.
Well, yeah, you got to blame the booker of circle wrestling. I mean, that's a problem. We got to have we got to sit down and have a meeting about this.
Yeah, but he is a, because we have a ring over mom and dad's house. We got a ring set up in the barn. And I remember my mom has like a picture of him. He did it all by himself, man. 3 years old, he climbed all the way to the top rope when he was 3 years old. And he was just sitting there, like holding the turnbuckle with both his feet. Like he looked like he was getting ready to do a moonsault, but
of course,
he didn't do anything. But he got all the way up there, man, at 3 years old.
And this ring, of course, I know I always love to see glimpses whenever our Ring of Honor cameras go down to Sandy Fork. Like most recently, we were there for some training vignettes as you got ODB ready for her big match. And luckily, she was victorious. How does it feel to have your belt back, your possession back? For anybody who didn't see the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, you can order the replay now through ROHWrestling.com. But at the end of the match with ODB and Maria Kanellis, ODB shredded all that horrible pink fur off of there, and you've got the stickers off, and it's been brought back to its rightful owner. How's that feel?
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful belt. Yep, she took the pink off or the fur off, and then so I brought it home. I left the stickers on there just so I could. When I brought it in the door, the kids, they were just ready. I mean, they were couldn't wait to see the belt. And so I laid it down. They saw the stickers on there, ripped the stickers off, and then they just ran around the house with the belt. So it was a great feeling, you know, getting that beautiful piece of property back home where she belongs.
That is an awesome belt. And I've enjoyed all the times of getting to see Sandy Fork and where the ring is and you know, Mark walking us through the chicken houses and stuff like that. I would imagine that even in tough times, you wouldn't trade your life with anybody else, would you?
No, sir. Nope. I mean, I just couldn't see. I mean, yeah, it gets tough sometimes, but I mean, it's just, you know, it's what I signed up for, and at the end of the day, man, I really feel like I'm blessed, man. Like, God takes care of us down here, man, and it's a blessing, man. It's a beautiful thing, and we've got, you know, beautiful children and everything, man. So it's, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Hey, so a lot of folks are talking about old Samoa Joe being back in Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fingers starting to be pointed back and forth. I think maybe there's even some sides being taken here in this one. I don't know. I'm on Team Briscoe. I'll say that right now.
Thank you,
I'm a loyalist. I've been with you since day one. Since before day one, I've been with you.
Since before day one. Yeah.
That's right. I was BC. This is AD, but you know, we haven't seen what's going to be happening yet on TV, but we'll see that soon enough. But give me some thoughts on Samoa Joe, what he means to you to be back in Ring of Honor, and what your thoughts are in this whole situation.
Well, Joe was always like a big brother to me, man. Like to us, me and Mark. I mean, we always got along real good with Joe, and I mean, at the beginning of Ring of Honor, when we had the feud and everything, it was, that really is what I think is what kind of got us to start coming into our own. Like, we had this great, big, massive man just whooping our ass, and then, you know, that's kind of where the term man up came from. We just getting our ass whooped by Joe all the time. Like, after a while, you can either keep getting your ass whooped or you can man up and start fighting back, and that's what, you know, that's what we did. I mean, back in the day, though, 10 years ago, we were, only 20, 21 years old. So now I think now it's a little bit more even playing field, man. And it's going to be, getting in there, you know, having the opportunity, hopefully, to get in there with Joe. It's going to, it's been a war before, but I think now it's really going to be a war.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing that. And I invite everybody to check out ROHWrestling.com. For all the information about Super Card of Honor coming up on March the 27th, it's going to be huge. If you don't have a ticket, sorry, it's all sold out. And that's a common theme lately with Ring of Honor. The houses are up, and everything has been great. So, but there'll be a lot of attention on the video on demand, but you'll be able to see that a few days after the event at ROHWrestling.com. And then the weekend of April 11th on television, we're going to do a special Super Card of Honor showcase. So everybody will get to see the big matches from the big event. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. But all right, before I let you go, Jay, I want to get your thoughts because we're one of my most favorite seasons. We've got the NFL season. We've got college football. Of course, I love both of those. But then the free agent season, there's just something about it, and I love it. And we're going to talk. We were talking earlier on. What are your Raiders going to do in free agency? Are they going to make any moves? I know they got just signed Rodney Hudson, the Florida State guy, offensive lineman. So that's good. What else are they going to do? Are they going to make a big splash?
Well, I was really hoping we were going to get Sue, man. But it looks like he's going to Miami, I guess.
Yeah, he would have been perfect in the silver and black.
Oh man, he would have been. That I would have got that jersey right away if he'd have signed, man. But he's daggone. I was hoping for him. If we'd have had another pass rusher with the rookie last year from Buffalo, Khalil Mack, man, we would have really been dangerous on defense. But I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, we're young, so I think we got a lot of young guys out there that are gonna come into their own. I mean, we got a pretty good spot in the draft. Hopefully, we can get a speedy wide receiver. Maybe the guy from Alabama. I don't know, but
yeah. You looked at that? Because everybody's talking up Kevin White from West Virginia, but I don't see how you can go past Amari Cooper. I don't get it. The kid's like an inch or two taller. I get it. And he's a little heavier. I get it. And he ran a tenth of a second faster in the 40. But man, Amari Cooper, that's it right there.
Yeah, that's who I'm hoping for anyway, man. And I know Al Davis, God rest his soul. I mean, I know he looks like an Al Davis kind of guy to me. So, hopefully we make Al proud and go ahead and get Cooper.
Well, is Al still pulling the strings from the great beyond?
I wonder, man. Sometimes I wonder, like when they, when we're sitting, when we got a good drive going, like, you know, and we're moving down the field, and next thing you know, it's like second and six, and all of a sudden they just throw a Hail Mary. I'm thinking, man, like, that had to be Al Davis right there. Like, the ghost of Al Davis had to just pop up on the sidelines and sure, call the play in or something, man, because that just made no sense.
That's why they hire these no-name coaches, because they go into, like, witness protection afterward they're not allowed to give up the story of the ghost of Al Davis calling plays. Are you a believer in Carr, the quarterback? Is he the guy? Is he the answer for the future?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's going to be the man. He is going to be the man. I'm excited. He's going to be the man.
I know. I'm a Giants fan, always have been, and I've applauded Eli Manning, and he won, you know, was on the team to win two Super Bowls and two miraculous plays, two luckiest Super Bowl wins ever in history, but I'll take them. Yeah. But I've never felt confident in Eli Manning as my quarterback. I've never liked his look. I've never liked his facial expressions. The Eli face drives me up a wall. But I think you got a winner out there in Oakland.
Yeah, yes, sir. Oh, yeah. And finally, thank God, ever since Rich Gannon, we have gone. Once we got Jamarcus Russell, that was kind of the beginning of a big downward spiral for us. But it looks like we're finally coming out of that, man, with Carr. So thank God for that.
Yeah. And, you know, the scissor, that just wasn't getting it done in the NFL. You can't be drinking that stuff, man.
Yeah, it wasn't cutting it for old Jamarcus.
Purple drink is not on the training table. You just can't do it. You got to say no to purple drink. Hey, how's Cousin Jethro doing?
He's doing good. He just had a birthday. I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, but yeah, he's doing good.
He's
actually in Baltimore this past weekend.
I saw him up for a little bit, and he had a bunch of people with him. He's got an entourage, I was like, I better not go over and mess with him, because I think he's, you know, signing autographs or something. I saw him from a distance. I was like, oh man, there he is. I just wanted to check, make sure he was doing all right.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's same old Jethro, man. He's doing good.
That's good. All right, so the next time that we will see, now fans will be able to see Jay Briscoe live in action coming up this weekend in both Milwaukee and Chicago. So you go to ROHWrestling.com for your tickets and information. Friday at Turner Hall Ballroom, Saturday at Chicago Ridge at the Frontier Fieldhouse, and then Super Card of Honor on March the 27th. It's Jay Briscoe. He's the Ring of Honor World Champion. He's one of a kind. He's a great man. I have a tremendous amount of admiration for you, and thanks for your time tonight, my friend.
Thank you. thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it, man. All the kind words and everything. And yeah, like you said, even before day one, man, he's always been there for us, and we appreciate everything.
Yes, sir. All right. So that's Jay Briscoe here on the Kevin Kelly Show. All right, so there you have it. The Ring of Honor World Champion himself, Jay Briscoe, our guest. And boy, oh boy, it was great talking to him. We, as I said earlier on, a little bit of an abbreviated episode of the Kevin Kelly Show here this week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new full episode with all your favorite features and fun. Another great guest as well. Spread the word. Tell everybody you know about the Kevin Kelly Show that you could subscribe through iTunes. You can also access it through, we want you to be part of the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/KevinKellyShowPTBN for all of your Kevin Kelly Show needs. Make sure you're checking out the Place to Be Nation website as well, placetobenation.com, for all the fantastic features and articles and other podcasts that are there, including the one that, JR cut out on a few weeks ago, or last week when his baby was being born. Either way, I'll tell you what, it's, you can't go wrong when you're logging into placetobination.com. You're going to find something.
One great series I just want to plug, because it'll be pretty long in the tooth by the time we record again.
Yes.
It's the Great WrestleMania Rebook. So there's like seven of us, and we're rebooking every WrestleMania with this really strict criteria in place. So you can't, you can't reuse any matches that actually happened. You can't change your champion, so you're really just going to rebook the card using anyone who is active on the roster at that time of the WrestleMania, and you can't reuse any matches, can't change champs. So it's really a really tough mental exercise, but we're doing one per day all the way up to WrestleMania. WrestleMania 30 rebook will go live on the site the day before WrestleMania 31. So check that out every day except for Sundays, 6 days a week. Those are up, and there's a poll on every post for you to vote of your favorite card. So check that out.
So your Cox, package, and poll have all been covered here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Thank you,
Jay. I'm pulling out. All yours.
All right, fans. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. Thanks to Dan McGinn for very little and Justin Rosero for even less. I am your host, Kevin Kelly, and we'll sign off now. We'll see you in a couple of weeks for the Kevin Kelly Show. Find it everywhere. Subscribe on iTunes, but our home away from home, Place to Be Nation, and theplacetobenation.com.
Wake up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now, and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had the strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with.
This honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut.
Always had a lot of issues with Cox, or have you dealt with Cox better in the past?
I used to enjoy dealing with Cox. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't get butthurt.
Bye.
Ballin', supposed to be a pimp, but my body is calling. I don't know R. Kelly. I calls my man, 2 L's and Martell. Maybe he understand a grown man throwing his life in quicksand just to feel my tip on your lips and hands.
It's all right. Let's go somewhere again.